Continuing our discussion of the mitzvah, lo ta'asun iti, lo ta'asun kidmut sham hashai, a person is prohibited min ha-Torah from replicating the Ribono shel Olam's servants in this world, whether they be the sun, the moon, the angels, humans, or even the Beit HaMikdash itself and its vessels and its instruments. The Gemara outlines very clearly, a person may not construct an exact replica of the Beit HaMikdash, any of its rooms, any of its kelim, whether it be the ulam, the mizbeach, the menorah, the chatzer, whatever it may be, a person may not construct it. As much as we are learning through the parashiot of Terumat Tetzaveh, Vayakel Pekudeh, we want to see these things. We have to realize that these are kodesh. These belong to Ribono Shel Olam. They are His tools for His service and not for our own. Nevertheless, there are details that one should be familiar with as one goes through life and encounters various situations where these could be relevant. Number one, it's all based on perception. Just like by the sun, the moon, and the stars, it's us, or even if it's flat, because we perceive it that way, and it's us, or even if it's small, because we perceive it that way. Whereas when it comes to human beings, flat is okay, because we don't perceive humans to be flat. We perceive them to be 3D. So only 3D is usher by humans. For example, here too, because we see the Mikdash and its Kelim in three dimensions, we perceive it as such. It's only usur if it's in three dimensions, and the Rishonim, the Ritva, Rashba, and others add, only if it meets the requirements to be kasher, le la'avoda. That means that if it does not meet the dimensions of the Mikdash, if it does not meet the dimensions of the Kelim that are required, rendering it pasul for the Mikdash, that renders it kasher simultaneously for chutz, for outside of the Mikdash. For example, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if you build a chatzer that's not the size of the Mishkan, of the Mikdash, it's okay. Or the Mishkan, then it's okay. It's not just the Beit HaMikdash, it's even the Mishkan. If you build a shulchan that's not the size of the shulchan, then that is also okay. Rav Moshe points out an important point, though, that there were numerous architectural designs of the Beit HaMikdash, Batei Mikdash, even within one Beit HaMikdash, over the years, as they tore things down and rebuilt them, as they modified them and remodeled them. Even the Mishkan had various permutations, says Rav Moshe. And he thinks that all of them are included in the prohibition. If it's not just one set of blueprints that are prohibited to create, it's the entire set, all of the variations of the Mishkan and the Mikdash that one may not replicate. And that said, a drawing of any of these things is totally fine. Not only does it not meet the requirements, it's not even three-dimensional. And a miniature Beit HaMikdash, such as the one on top of Esh HaTorah, or if you when you were growing up, made a mini Mishkan or a mini Beit HaMikdash in school, those are also totally fine, because they don't meet the dimensions that are required to be kasher LaMikdash. Let's say one does have such an object. They made a shul with all of the kelim, that is so that you should be able to buy your own shulchan for your own home. For example, let's just make up a story, then that would be prohibited. However, if a person wants to learn, to instruct, to teach, lehavinu lehorot, what were the klei hamikdash? What were the kelim? What did they look like? Then it would be permissible to construct a model to demonstrate what the Torah is referring to. Right? The poskim. Although this halacha appears in the grander sugya of lo ta'asun iti, of not replicating Hashem's servants, which is in the Masechet Avodah Zarah and Rosh Hashanah, and is in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchot Avodah Zarah, the Rambam most interestingly omitted it from his Hilchot Avodah Zarah. For the Rambam, these halachot appear in the halachot of Klei HaMikdash, not in the halachot of Avodah Zarah, rather in the halachot of building the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash. The Minchat Chinuch suggests that this could be perhaps for the Rambam, this halacha could very well be a function not of Lo Ta'asun Iti, then rather of the mitzvah of Morah Mikdash, of fearing and revering the Beit HaMikdash. Alternatively, Rav Vosner and others connect this point, this placement of the Rambam, not to Morah Mikdash, but rather to the grand mitzvah of Binyan Beit HaMikdash, of building the Beit HaMikdash itself, and Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvot Asei, Mitzvah Chaf. The Rambam there lists not only building the Beit HaMikdash itself as a mitzvah, but he includes the construction of all of the kelim, aside for the Aron, all of the kelim in the mitzvah of building the Beit HaMikdash. And for the Rambam, the details of building the kelim and the mikdash, the prohibition to make replicas of them, are just details of the mitzvah itself, of building. Therefore, for the Rambam, it is included in the halachot of Klei HaMikdash. And Rav Vosner points out how the Rambam probably disagrees with this based on how he divvies up the mitzvot in his count. One should also note how, even though there are those who write that, true, the Isur is to construct these objects, but not necessarily to own these objects. The Pitchei Tshuva quotes a Tiferet the Moshe who holds that the Isur is only to construct it, so b'di'avad, if a goy made it for you, it would be mutar to keep. One should note how there are great Rishonim, like the Rashba and the Ritba, who argue that owning such an object, possessing such an object, is asur min ha-Torah. The Ritva, the Rashba, and the Ran. In these sugyot say this. So, even though there are those who say that such an object would be mutar b'hana'a, the poskim would rather one not get involved in the machloket. As we'll see in a few minutes, this is going to be one of the tzadim likula in certain situations as well, though. Again, any deviation that would render a keli invalid for mikdash purposes would ultimately render it permissible to construct for outside of the mikdash. When it comes to certain kelim, though, those parameters are not so clear. The halachot of the menorah, where they may be descriptive, are not prescriptive. They don't require necessarily all of the halachot be fulfilled. The menorah has kaftorim prachim, for example, but they're not necessary. Only a menorah of zahav, made of gold, is necessary to have kaftorim and prachim. But if you have a menorah which is also permissible to be made out of other, it's also kosher, the menorah, to be made out of other metals, as the Gemara describes, it doesn't require kaftorim and prachim. So the poskim write how, even if your menorah is lacking kaftorim and prachim, it is still a kosher menorah for the Beit HaMikdash. Even if it's zahav, it's still called a menorah, they say. So it would be prohibited to construct a 7-branch menorah like there was in the Beit HaMikdash, even if you omit the design elements of the menorah. And according to some, like the Bechor Shor, according by the Pitchei Tshuva, even if you use curved branches instead of straight branches, that which is a whole architectural, archaeological, historical question of itself, but depending on, you know, the Rambam in his handwritten version of it, Mishneh Torah had it one way, and on all of our archaeological evidence we have it the other way, but not for now. That's one facet, one parameter of Hilchot Menorah, which is not Me'akev necessarily, and therefore will not change anything. Only things that are Me'akev will be Posel Bafnim and Kasher Machshir Bachutz. So height is another thing that's not Me'akev. And therefore, changing the height of the menorah will not allow this to be happened. But let's say you make it out of wood. A wooden menorah is pasul bifnim. So it would be pisula bifnim. So it would be kishera bachutz. There are things that are Me'akev, though. In addition to the material, the number of branches, the Gemara says. If you have a 6-branch menorah, it's okay. If you have an 8-branch menorah, it's okay. Only if you have 7 branches is it a problem. Some even say that the reason why they have 8 days of Chanukah is to avoid violating this Isur. So you have 8 candles on your menorah and not 7. Now, what happens if, for whatever reason, you end up in possession of such a thing? A 7-branch menorah. What do you do? Well, the halakha is that according to some, it is asur min ha-Torah to possess any item that fits the description of things that are asur to construct. But we don't really hold that way. We hold that min ha-Torah, it's definitely okay. Now, should it be kept? Should it be kept? I think the post is going to say no. But what if it's a seven-branch menorah? What are the parameters in which maybe we can find a kula for a shul that gets its hand on a seven-branch menorah? Well, Maran Achida relates to us, how he remembers in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, centuries ago, there was an instance where the community did get its hand on such a thing, and they could not find room to be lenient, and they had to get rid of it. They had to change something on the menorah to be poselit, such as mosif kane, add on a branch, or remove a kane, take off one. That would be fine. Even covering the top of one of the nerot would be okay. That would also remove the isur. The poskim also mentioned of Uziel and of Uzner both point out how this is only assuming that you have a menorah that has a trunk. If your menorah is a flat base with seven branches coming out of the base without a trunk, that would also be fine. But let's say it's a regular seven-branch menorah with a base and a trunk and everything. So Rav Uziel and Rav Ovadia both mention, and it's quoted by Rav Gedalia Felder in Yisod Yishurun, they both say how if the menorah is electric, if it's a candelabrum, you definitely have a problem. Because you don't necessarily need olive oil. If it has cups, it has wicks, it's usur, even if it's just for candles and not for olive oil. But if it's an electric menorah, they think that that's a sufficient enough shinoi from the menorah at HaMikdash to permit one to retain possession of such a menorah, especially because the intention was not to copy the menorah at HaMikdash in these situations, and they have good intentions to adorn the Mikdash Me'at of the Beit HaKnesset. There is room to be mekel. Herzog also thought that an electric bulb is not considered a Beit Kibul. Okay, there are opinions who say one can be mekel. And all of these topics of Lota Asunitim, or any Rabbeinu Harav Shechter, Shalita, Haskins, that Harchek min HaKiur v'Hadomelo, you have to stay far away from things that are sketchy and inappropriate, they are unseemly, don't get involved. Do whatever you can to stay away from these things. With the Avadu, there is one to be mekel for, but one should steer clear away from all these situations. In fact, there is an important question that it's on everybody's mind when we visit Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, not currently during the construction, but usually when we visit the old city of Yerushalayim, when you go to the Kotel, you notice on the left, going down the steps, the menorah of the Machon HaMikdash that they built for the Mikdash itself. It's a big question. What's with this Machon HaMikdash? They're building Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash. Isn't that exactly what's Asur? So Shechter tells a story about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik's brother, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who apparently years ago, Rav Shechter was with him when Machon HaMikdash was just getting started and they had come to New York to displace some of the Kalim that they had built, constructed for the Mikdash, that will be built one day, Zad Hashem, and they showed it to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And at the end of the story, apparently Rav Aaron Soloveitchik didn't say anything, and at the end they left, and Rav Shechter asked him what he thought, and he said, "That's exactly what's Asur!" And Rav Shechter went to run after them and tell them, but it was too late, whatever, they had left, and okay, now you have a whole Machon HaMikdash with a museum and everything. So I've heard Rav Shechter say this story maybe 10 times. And I always came out of the story thinking that Rav Shechter was saying, it's Asur. Look, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said it's exactly what's Asur. And everybody always laughs at the end of the story. So like you think that's the punchline. It's actually Asur. So I was talking to Rav Shechter about it, and he said, no, that's what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said. So I said, what do you mean, Rabbi? What do you think? He said, yeah, it's fine. They're building it for the Beit HaMikdash. The whole problem here is a personal copy. You're building it to prepare for the Beit HaMikdash to be built and to be ready with the Kalim. There's no problem at all. That's for the Mikdash. So I'm like, oh, I'm sure there are a bunch of people who didn't understand it that way. So, okay? It's my zechus to instruct the world that our Shechter thinks that it's fine. And that's pashtus. That makes the most sense. As you're not trying to make a replica. You're trying to make it. You're trying to make it. There's no Yisur to build a Beit HaMikdash one day. There's also no Yisur to build a Kelim right now. The Gemara doesn't say you have to wait until Mashiach comes. Nobody says that. So that's what they're doing, and that's what they have to rely on. So in summary, it is prohibited to create, to build, construct a replica to imitate the Beit HaMikdash and its vessels, as long as it would be, and the exact dimensions, three dimensions, exact dimensions that would be, that would be fit for use in the Beit HaMikdash and the service of the Avodah. But if one is able to change any of those parameters to the point that it would be invalid for the Avodah HaMikdash, it would be permitted. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to put to use and to continue constructing the Klei HaMikdash and the Beit HaMikdash. B'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Baruch Adonai l'olam. Amen v'amen.